Thank y'all. The marathon continue. Victory lap tonight, though.
Victory lap tonight.
Welcome to the One Talk Podcast with Ryan McCarthy.
The marathon continues. That's what you were saying.
Today's episode is sponsored by TNC Metal Roofing. TNC Metal Roofing is a small family-owned business constantly striving to outdo competition on quality, appearance, and providing the most cost-effective roofing solutions. All aspects of metal roofing, from new roofs, re-roofs, fascia, and gutter-to-wall cladding. With many builders and private clientele, they are slowly growing to be the next big contender in North Brisbane. TNC stated they are loving the work One Talk does throughout the community and beyond, highlighting mental health is a major thing and often swept under the rug within the building industry, and they want to make it a topic. Never any project TNC will shy away from, and the mental health of their employees is always at the forefront. So check the link in this bio. You can find their website. You can find their Instagram. Please go show the love. Go show the support. Also, if you need any roofing work done, I highly recommend hitting them up. They are the best in the business on Brisbane, and I highly recommend checking them out.
Welcome back to the One Talk Podcast, here with Jai Dixon, an amazing boxer, and also Chris from Bobbers of Brendale. Happy to be here, boys. How we doing?
Yeah, good. Thanks for having me, really, for sure.
How are you all? How you doing, Chris?
Not bad, big fella, and it's good to see Jai's out and making most of it.
Yeah, 100%, man. I've been watching you for about at least 12 months, maybe 18 months, mainly from distance and social media and the work that you've been doing. And see someone at your age, putting the work in view, the commitment that you have, also having the drive that you have, like, where do you think all of that comes from for yourself and just rather than committing to boxing?
I don't know, really. Maybe just try to, like, give back to the people that's given to me. But mainly, like, my mum, coaches, sponsors, of course. Like, just want to, like, make them proud and kind of, I don't know, do something that they can be proud of.
100%. I do feel like, though, when you do things for a bigger purpose than yourself, it does give you, like, that bigger driver in life.
Yeah.
But if we do things for ourselves, we can kind of get off track on our mission. But we have a bigger picture, we have a bigger purpose. So much better. But for yourself, like, saying that you want to give back to people that give to you, like, where did you first step in the box and when was your best, or I guess, like, what was your best memory going into?
So I was playing footy and I was turned 12. And my brother was trying to try out for the AFL or something, the bigger one.
Yeah.
But anyways, we were always like small kids as ourselves, and he was told he wasn't allowed to play because he was just too small. Like, the coach was like, oh, mate, you're going to get hurt. Like, you can't be playing this team. So in the boxing at the PCYC, he was just across the road, and mum wanted to take him in to have a look, and that we just ran into Benny Harrington, and we like saw Vegas, and we always knew him in primary school, and like, he would always look at me and just give me a little wink and stuff. And I'd always just make eye contact with him, just, like, have some type of feeling about it. And then, when we walked in the gym, we saw Vegas there. He's been training there. And it was just so, like, welcoming, you know, like, the gym and, like, Benny and Blue Chair, everyone. Like, they were just really nice. And I started with Tahoe. He was a real good coach, like, to start me off. And yeah, ever since then, I just loved it and just loved the community they had and just fell in love with just the whole thing of ASB.
Yeah, right. That's awesome, man. Do you remember your first, like, your experience where, I guess, maybe it was meeting the people, maybe it was stepping into the boxing gym, maybe it was 6 months later. What was the first time where you're like, I'm actually committed to this? Because going from footy, it's like twice a week, all kind of weekends and whatnot. But then boxing is more of like a lifestyle. So I guess when was that first moment, you reckon?
Well, I started playing footy first, and I started, like, watching my brother, and I was just like, damn, I want to be a part of this so bad. And I was playing footy, and then I asked my mum eventually, and then I got into it too. And I was playing footy and boxing. I literally just train and then run over and just quickly, like, start the boxing session. And then, like, after probably like 2 weeks of that, I realized that, like, I want to do this, like, for sure. And footy, you know, I was too small for it, really. Like, I'd just not really get the ball as much. And I was just like, boxing really, like, kind of felt like home, if that makes sense.
Like NRL footy or AFL?
What's the one where they, like, the real big mosh, like, you know, I forget the name of it.
Like, Family Rugby?
Yeah. It's, NFL or something.
Oh, sure.
Anyways. Yeah, I couldn't think of it. Yeah, it's Gridiron, but yeah, he was way too small for that, so it was like, no.
Yeah, I find a lot of correlation about, like, footy players going into boxing, like, it seems. I know Bayes has a similar story, and also Hayden Emerson, like, it's quite a common theme, but how old were you when you started to stop doing the footy and stuff in the box?
I was 11 turning 12, and then pretty much as I was turning 12, I just went and scored it there. So I think in March 2017, I started taking it, like, properly, and then, yeah, had my first fight a little bit later. But actually, after 6 weeks, I think I fought.
What was that first fight, Lou?
Oh, it was crazy. Everyone knows that I would just throw my overhand. That's all I threw. Jab, body, overhand, that was it.
Yeah.
And I just kept throwing that. I actually fought a guy 6 kilos heavier. And then, I got the win there. But it was pretty hard. Like, all my family came to watch and stuff. So that's all. But literally, all I threw was a jab, body, over. But that's crazy.
So I got you the W. So that's the main thing. But I guess, do you have any advice for, like, younger fellas around the same age you were at that time? Like, probably stepped into a gym and having their first fight? Like, what's some advice you give to the younger people out there?
You just gotta really have a good, like, community and good coaches. Because really, I went out there and I just have all trust in my coaches because I know they want the best in me and, like, I see true intention. So, I think just having a good coach and staff around you, that will really help a lot.
Yeah, having good people around you always saves your ball, hey?
Yeah.
But for yourself, correct me if I'm wrong, be up 8 national titles and 10 state titles?
Yeah.
I guess, when did that journey begin, like, collecting your first title?
So I started in 2017, and then that, like, I was training there towards the end of it, and then freshly 2018, that's where I had my first Aussie title, because I was, like, just 1 year, like, old enough, fairly sad. And, I went there, won my first Aussie title there, and consecutively every year, I just went and went.
How good is that?
Yeah.
What was that feeling like getting your first Aussie title? Because that would have been, like, a surreal feeling, sure.
Yeah, it was crazy. I just remember, like, as soon as I did that, I just wanted more, but I just wanted to keep going. Because in that fight, it was a hard one. Like, it was sapped against me. I had a guy that was, like, a bit more experienced and even got an 8 count put on me. It was a hectic fight, but yeah, I got the win, so it was the best feeling ever, really.
Who was the first person you wanted to tell? What's the first person I want to have all?
I think I just, like, I mean, everyone was really there. Like, my mom, everyone was there. So, pretty much just ran in my club door straight away, and that was it.
So, after the first one, did that build, like, a hunger within you to keep going?
Yeah.
And it kind of, and they give you confidence in your ability as well, or were you already confident in your capable?
Yeah, well, everyone, like, would rave on about, like, you're the Australian champion, best in Australia. And, like, when you're a little kid, that's everything, you know, but. Yeah, and then it's just kind of a normal thing now.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Because, like, I've had a lot of boxers on the podcast. I've had a lot of people, like, big people pops to you as well, like, saying how much of the boxer you are, how committed you are, and you're the next big bomb coming up. I guess, like, hearing feedback like that, like, how does that make you feel?
Oh, yeah, just makes me want to, like, do more and just make them proud, like I said before. And, like, seeing people like Bayes and Liam doing the big things, like, you just know that you can follow in their footsteps and really shows you what's, like, to come. Like, I can really do that, you know. Like, if I just stay stuck in the grind and just keep doing it, like, one day I can be where Liam is and do the things he's doing.
Yeah, 100%. Because Liam just had a good victory on the weekend, didn't he? Was he shot? I was like, I like the fight. Oh. I had to tell him it's law for a while. But I was out there fight watching it. And I could just know. I was like, I'll let Enzville Liam sometime during his fight. That did.
Yeah, well, it's premeditated. He knows when to hit, and then he just hits. And it's the same as watching it. And you watch a supercomputer, and then they just know when to hit that final mark.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Did you have any inspirations in terms of boxers growing up? Like, was there a certain style, a certain boxer, or some that you really kind of looked up to or developed?
When I first started, not really. Because I didn't actually even, like, know about boxing, or I was never into it as, like, a youngin. But, I just think maybe just local boys like Liam and stuff like that. I obviously watch, like, Floyd Mayweather and stuff, and yeah. I'd really gravitate towards him and, like, Jermonte Davis and stuff. That's kind of where I, like, got the name as well a little bit, like Tank.
Yeah.
But, Yeah, I remember an interview Benny did with me ages ago, like when I was 12. He would ask me who my favorite boxer was, and I said Gregory Davis. Like, I just didn't know how to pronounce his name. But yeah, it was real funny. But that's where, like, it kind of started, where everyone, like, tries to call me Tank and stuff.
Yeah,
I can't remember him, but I'd say he was, like, one of my favorites going up, like, Mudge and Tomato all the time.
Yeah, I do like Tank. I was the same, because when I was growing up, my dad had loads of VHS tapes, showing how old I am here, but used to watch, like, loads of Sugar Ray and Mike Tyson. For me, that's really, like, my obsession becoming the boxing fan again. I never stepped into boxing or in the ring. It's kind of something I wish I did earlier. Maybe something I can still do now. I'm not too old yet. But, yeah, that's probably some of my earliest name moves. But in terms of inspiration, it's good that in the city at the moment, especially around Brisbane, there's so many great fighters coming out of where they live.
Yeah, I'll do the same Baltimore Baggers. We've got Liam, we've got Ken Hussein, even Billy Alkanon and the Big Bang him as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's so many great bars just within Brisbane. I know there's a lot more on leading up here, but it makes it good because I guess high quality team members also brings the quality they're not around. Maybe it's surrounded by the community.
Because if they bring it together and they all do the same thing, then the world's going to become a better place. That's what they do.
Yeah, Chris, like, what's from an outside perspective, like, what do you see in the outside for Jai?
Nine times out of ten, whenever I'm spending any time with Jai or wherever, asking for help or whatever it is, it always comes from a perception of a different angle. Like, Jai will come and help for no reason other than he knows that that's what's the best thing to do. And every time I ask for a stupid post or whatever my harebrained ideas are as a businessman, Jai's just like, cool, I'll back it. And then he comes, gets his hair cut, or he comes and does the Christmas post like he did. And it makes it real, and it makes it, I don't know, like, orientated that we're all in it together. You know what I mean? Like, he might be a boxer, he might be me doing all that, and I might be an entrepreneurial businessman that has my own beer, for God's sake. But, like, what we're all trying to achieve is actually the same thing. Because he's trying to achieve the same thing I'm trying to achieve, which is we're just trying to make the world a better place than the way that we found it, you know? And really, that's what it comes down to.
Mm. Just for a bit of the backstory, because obviously people who listen to One Tools know about yourself, Chris, yeah, you came on the podcast, but Jai, like, how did you and Chris first meet? And I guess, how did you evolve to where you signed down to you?
Well, I think he met Benny, and then they, like, kind of hit it off, and, like, Chris is always, like, such a support guy. They wanted to help the gym, and then, you know, they got into talks and just picked out of certain few people. But he sponsors the whole gym. Like, everyone gets free haircuts and something like that. And, you know, it is, like, a massive help, really, because that extra, like, 50, 60 bucks, that does take away. You know, so it is a massive help, that what he does and stuff.
Yeah, right. And now Chris, the sponsor of you personally as well, or?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's because I see it in him, and that's the biggest selling point that he stood amongst all the others, because when you look at, say, a characteristic of a young man growing to be maybe one of the great Australian boxers, what you're looking at is characteristics that is he going to still be with me when he's a pro? You know what I mean? Is he going to still look back on the days and be grateful for that, you know, couple of $100 and the free haircuts and all that type of stuff? And I literally sat down and I remember asking Ben exactly that question, and Ben said to me, he goes, well, Jai's your man. And I was just like, cool. And then Benny sort of put it together, and then me and Jai had to make it work. But Jai didn't know me. I didn't know Jai. And then through, what was it? I think it was like two or three haircuts. Like, you figured it out. I figured it out. And then I said to him, I said, all right, well, you support my shop, I support you. And that was it. It's a handshake agreement.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, like you said, like, those things do make a big difference. Like, you know, because it's like $60 a pop, but also the community you get around. But in terms of, like, stepping, I know you're going to be pro soon, we'll point dive deeper into that soon, but stepping in the box, like, full, like, commitment, you know, it's not something you used to every now and then expect to show up in the ring for the great performance. Like, you have to dedicate your life to it. And I guess for yourself, like, what does it mean to have supporters around you that help you really, you know, go out to your dreams?
Yeah, well, it really is everything, because without, like Chris and my sponsors that help me, I actually wouldn't be able to do it. And then, like, obviously my mum, like, I'm really grateful for her, because without her and all her support, I wouldn't be able to train full time and just train twice a day and do everything I can to, you know, make it come true, my dream and that. But,
and he also looks after his sponsors. You know, that's the big part about this whole thing, is that he's I've got a lot of kids that are off the book that are sponsors, but he's the one that always elevates himself. Obviously, he always sends like a nice text message, even on your darkest days. Like, I just had to go to a funeral and a few other things with my life. And the first thing he says, he goes, "Oh, you're okay." You know what I mean? So you can't coach that behavior. You can't teach that behavior. You either are that or you're not. And he consistently is that. If that makes any sense. I don't know what Pat is, but that's what he is.
Where did that come from? Like, did that come from mum, someone else in your life? Like, where do you think, I guess, she developed it?
Yeah, just maybe the way I was brought up and stuff. I always try to, you know, pay my own way and like, be grateful for what I get given, because, you know, there's, like, good people out there and they do help you. And, like, it's kind of rare to find, so when you do, I just really want to be grateful. And, like, what Chris was saying before, like, the sponsors that support me now, like, I'll never forget. I'm forever grateful. Like, all the way to if I do make it and be famous, like, I'll still remember those guys, that even if it was a little support, like, it means everything now, because if you, like, stick with me while I'm trying to make it now, then, yeah, I'll remember you in the long run, you know?
Yeah. That's it. It's not about if, but when.
Well, it's a big difference between day one and day 100. Yeah. You know what I mean? Oh, you're there on day one, then at the end of the day, when he gets right to that pinnacle, day one was it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Day one will always be.
What is that pinnacle for you? Or what does that look like? Like, have you got to end your career, or have you fast forward to a certain point of your career? Like, what are your goals in this goal?
Yeah, it's pretty cliche. Like, I feel like everyone says they want to be a world champion and stuff and undisputed and all that, but that is what I got inspired to do. But the first tick would be a world title as a pro. Because all this amateur stuff, like, I've never really cared about it, to be honest. It's all, like, it's all prep for the pros. Like, anything I do in amateurs now, I'm only doing it to build my pro career and, like, make a name for myself to, like, start pros and make it a bit easier. But either way, I'm going to try to take it all out of the pros and get those big shots and get those world titles and everything I can.
Yeah, when you step at the pros, is there a weight clash you're looking for? Or?
Yeah, it'd definitely be lighter, because I'm fighting at 55 right now. And but I feel like I'm a little bit small for the division, to be honest. But as an amateur, it's like, you know, I have to make the weight every day, so it's not too bad. But as a pro, I'll definitely be looking to go lighter.
Yeah, nice. Because as an amateur, I saw on the Bob's rec, but I'm not sure if the stats are correct, but you had 65 amateur fights?
I think roughly. I think they do, like, mess up a few of them, but
yeah.
But yeah, about 65, I think. Yeah.
And you could look at it like, what was last year, and then what would be international fights? How many times did you represent Australia?
I think I fought international the 8 times.
Yeah. 8 times. Well,
do you think about
say I was all 4 as well.
And then that number it's like catch a fish, will get a lot bigger.
Yeah.
Because the media people will say things. And I always ask Benny, or I ask him, because I'm the shit that you hear. It is just that as shit. So if you get it from source, we get it from one of his coaches, that you're always going to get it the right way.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, talk to you about some of the places he traveled to as well. What was full?
Oh, yeah. So last year was a big year for me. I had Kazakhstan, Lithuania, where else? I obviously went to Worlds in Liverpool. That was probably the highlight, honestly, because that was obviously one of the biggest things you go to World Championships.
Liverpool, England?
Yeah.
My tournament, Crom.
Oh, really? The final, Katie.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, that was my first time going there. I actually loved it. It had to be one of my favorite places. It's just a real nice area, but the weather was pretty bad.
Sorry about it.
Yeah.
Well, next time if you go over there, let me know, because I'm going to need some football tickets.
Oh, really? Yeah, though, I realized we were speaking about playing a game there, like, go and watch one of the big games or, like, the rest day, but didn't end up doing it, but, yeah, it would have been pretty cool.
Yeah, nice. Like, being able to step into something that gives you the ability to travel the world and see different parts of the world, that's pretty special, you reckon?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, I literally never even left, like, Brisbane, really, until I started boxing. Like, I never thought I would go any of these countries I've ever been in. Now I've been to, like, I think 12, and it's just like, yeah, it's crazy. I didn't think I'd ever go to, like, Kazakhstan, but yeah, I'd say random. But yeah.
So you're not going, where are you going? You're contending. And that's the biggest part of it all, is that we all look at Australia as this dynamic country, but we've all got to always remember that it's only that 300 years old. He's going into countries where boxing is older than our country.
Yeah.
You got to think about that. You got to put your head around it. Because sometimes I talk to Benny about it, and he goes, yeah, he goes, they've probably been boxing there maybe 4,000 years. You know, and you're like, oh, okay. And then he's over there contending with him. And that's not a bother. Okay, cool.
Especially like I said, I'm from Liverpool, and boxing's massive there.
Shoot.
I remember my older brother's best mate, his name's Matthew Davies, and he ended up winning, like, I think 15 national biggest titles and all that. But shame of him just talk about box all the time. They put him on the earliest memories of and drill it into me. But over there, like, it's so a brunch at home to use.
Yeah.
Sport.
Yeah, it feels like everyone can fight over there. Like, yeah. The taxi guy, the tick shelf looks like you. Yeah.
When you look at Billy on the weekend and you look at that, what was it they called it, the sledgehammer or the jackhammer or something?
Hammer.
Yeah, the hammer. And you just think about that and you're like, okay, cool. And I'm like, I think about Billy and I know him quite well. And I'm like, I've sparred with him a couple of times, helped pads up. And I'm just like, yeah, well, that's what he's got. Then you look at him and whatever they've got. It's just like maybe they use like 5% on us, you know, for a spike. It's kind of crazy when you see it all. It's just really cool.
Yeah. I'm interested as well, like, in what one of those international travels look like. Maybe we'll pinpoint Liverpool because that's what I'm passionate about that. But what was the days that they would play going out to Liverpool, even in those comps?
Well, we always get there a little bit like full time because obviously like jet lag and anything, but it really settle in. But we pretty much just go off the schedule the team gives us. So like, say we went to Liverpool, the England people would rewrite the schedule and say like, this is when the weigh-in is, this is when the official meeting is. But, and we just like play by ear pretty much, but it's a bit of a stitch-up, like, when we got to find out who we're fighting and stuff up. Like, in Liverpool, they literally delayed the draw about an hour and then another hour. Yeah, I was sitting there, like, cutting weight and just, like, struggling. Like, is this for real? This is World Championships. Like,
yeah.
But in the end of it, it was not too bad. But, yeah, we just pretty much just go off what they give us and just train and try to keep sharp just for the fight. And when that happens, it was dial in and try to do everything right.
Do you feel like you recovered from the jet lag quick enough? Because with jet lag, I can't even make a coffee. You know, I'm hot sleep, like, let alone pot.
Yeah, I feel like I started with fat casuals. Oh, chips. Yeah, I get back straight from a trip. I literally, first place I go is the bowls, yeah. I was sitting there half asleep.
But you think about that, is he's doing that, and he's prepping himself, then he's fighting, he's contending, and then you do all of that, and you go, okay, now I'm just going to be a pro in Australia. Yeah. So you think about that as a foundation.
Yeah.
Be walking in and it's just like, oh, yeah, cool. I heard gen lag and
season. So what do you think has been the one international experience that's probably taught the most lessons at balls of country, maybe the competition?
I'm not too sure. They all have their own like little lessons in each one, but yeah, I'm not too sure. I couldn't pinpoint one yet, but I feel like recently, the World Championships, obviously, that was a big learning curve because just seeing the elite level, like, because I obviously went to the Youth Worlds and just seeing the difference, it's like, it's crazy because it's all like, it's all men, you know, it's not like kid boxing or anything. Like, you could be versing a 35-year-old Olympian, like, you know, it's crazy, but.
Is that in 2020, Tim?
Yeah, you still
all for fifth?
Yes,
well, yeah, the diff, bro. It's made like fifth in the whole world.
But you got to think about that. It's he's just because he's the best in Australia. And then you take, like, little Australia as a country. And you can go and competing against countries where this is like, he's caught a horse and then he's going against thoroughbreds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just like, I could tell you the difference between a caught horse and thoroughbred. See?
Yeah.
Like, they're worlds apart, you know what I mean? And he's actually contending to a point where he's getting wins on the board.
Especially because, like, every country has their own style of fighting, basically, as well. Yeah. I hadn't even prepared, but I've like gone into a competition like you got to fight a Mexican dude, an English dude, a Kazakhstani dude.
Well, yeah, I guess it all comes down to your preparation with your coaches and stuff. Because if you're not like training to beat each style, you know, you could come undone. Like if you're just so used to going on the back foot all the time, then next minute you have a guy that's on the back foot. Like, you know, what are you going to do? That's why it's good. Yeah, at all style, we prepare for everything. And obviously, internationally, everyone really kind of is just really good at the fundamentals. Like, it's not like they're completely, you know, have all this flashy stuff. Like, most of the top guns, they got a perfect jab and they're really, like, really fast twitch. And they're not, like, so crazy where they're doing all this, like, you know, hands down, doing, like, the front flip or whatever. You know, like, they're all wheels of the wrist. Yeah, they're all real good at their basic stuff. That's like,
action, is it? And that's what we're talking about here is when you're comparing foundations to foundations, well, they're competing with a cloak that started his foundation at 12 years old.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to think about that. Think about the way the brain develops. Now, his brain hasn't developed fully yet. So, Israel Wayne Police 24. Yeah. He's already got a foundation in boxing.
Yeah.
And if he's going to debut, what age are you now, Jai?
21. So then your debut as a 20-year-old boxer, you know, a few hard years, and you get it all happening, and then by the time he has full development of reign, and he's going to have a foundation stronger than most guys.
Yeah, I think that was Volvo's fourth science that we had. I think people's peace lasts longer. A boxer nowadays suit, it holds Terrence Paul up there days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's getting up there.
86 around the age where we're born, into the Joshua's a bit like 36 maybe, roughly. So it just shows like longevity tan screen, so which is very...
Well, your pain threshold increases as it over as well. So right now, pain's an acute sense to you.
Yeah.
Imagine what it's going to be like as he gets older and older and then he starts understanding his pain. And he starts pushing through that.
Yeah.
Pushing through those windows and getting to the 10th round in the fight.
Yeah.
On points.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it didn't look like Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
Like, he's still fighting now. He barely got hit in the head. Like, he was so good at defensive work.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like looking after your body and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he would do all those extras and stretching and not, like, going out, doing all that bad stuff for you.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
Like, topic, yeah.
We were talking about this the other day. Me and Benny and All-Star with Inside Out Recovery, we're doing a whole lot of things in the local community just so these guys can look after their bodies. You know, he does it with all Pelora as well, and it doesn't really matter where they go, but at least it's brought up. Oh, I haven't talked about my life. I didn't care about my boy.
Yeah.
I just went and did it. You know, and it was just like, oh, it hurts. Okay, cool. And then after you go to sleep and you wake up and it wouldn't hurt anymore. They just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. These days, they're acutely aware of functionality. They're acutely aware of looking after themselves. Yeah, you know, I don't know how much time you spend looking after yourself and eating the right way, because I'm not you, but you can probably talk about that.
Yeah, like, what does your recovery and, I guess, maintenance be yourself look at?
I would honestly base it a lot around nutrition. Like, because I heard the AIS and different coaches told me before that you got to eat 45 minutes within the training session, like, unless you won't, like, properly recover the next day.
Yeah.
So I always try to do, I always have, like, a protein shake or, like, a snack with me after training. But, yeah, and also just obviously hit the right foods. Like, if you're going to eat, like, KFC and stuff, like, you're probably not going to recover. Like, it's better, obviously. But that's what I always try to do, have a good, like, nutrition base.
That's good. You don't want to be sparring with body and stomach.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I definitely have a few times it's definitely not enough.
Yeah.
Not much available to it. Like, you look at the shelves in All-Star Boxing, you look at all the different supplements that they can use, and you look at all the different, you know, synthesizers that they can use. They use mushrooms, for God's sake. They can do all different things. Whereas you rewind the thing 10 years ago, and that was my child and your child.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing. It was just like, hard nut, buttercup.
Yeah.
Here's some water, or here's an orange peel. You know, we thought orange peels were the best thing in the world. You just chuck them in your mouth and you'd go, yeah, sweet, there's my electrolytes.
Yeah, that's why it's so good to have, like, the places like Inside Out Recovery and Aura Bonus that, like, will sponsor us and, like, give us free things where we can go and actually use it. Yeah, you got it. Because we actually do need that. That does play a big part. Like I said, nutrition, but those little extras, those 1%ers that really tip you over.
Yeah, you find recovery is just as important as preparation.
Yeah, I feel like I do slack with that, if I'm being honest. Like, I do not go as much and stuff, but yeah, that's what Coach Benny and Paul always tell me, you know, like, it's not, a disciplined fighter isn't always about just, like, training hard and that. But a disciplined fighter is eating the right foods, doing your recoveries, like, doing your runs. Like, it's all the little bombers that make you, like, an actual disciplined fighter, not just training hard, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a big thing. It's the same as entrepreneurial, is, you know, to have the ability to show up consistent and do the same thing every day and basically being the result. You know, I mean, if he did the same thing every day thinking he was going to get the same thing, well, then that's not getting anywhere. He's going into it every day with that little bit of hope, with that little bit of change. And, you know, it might just be that little bit stronger punch. It might be that better slip or better step. You know, but he functions every single day and then gives up.
100% it is. Like, having a little bit of hope, a little bit of faith, but also just being consistent every single day. I've been hungry for it because even one talk podcast took me like 18 months to get people to listen to it. It took me 3.5 years to an AJ from it. And that was like 3 years of every single week putting out an episode, just free. In quotes, free, but I got a lot of things in value in exchange for it. But it just shows, you know, like, you may not see results now, all those 1%ers do stack up.
Yeah.
And the one thing I say to people is that 1% every day doesn't seem like much. For the calendar year, there's 365 days. 1% by the end of the year is 365%. A massive growth in the long term scale, you know. And if you do the things every single day, man, you're going to get closer to where you are.
You watch dry train, mate. I can happily tell you more than 1% some days.
I will be down there. We're getting the team to come down and do a video for you.
Yeah,
I love that. I was sick and we came to come and see you train. Like, I've seen a couple of your fights and all that. And clips and stuff for socials, but it's always different in person, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
But you've got a very much premeditated fighter here, like he thinks, and you can watch him think. You know, he does things where you sort of just like, wow, that's really cognitive. You know what I mean? He's not just fighting with a foot or a reflex.
Yeah.
Like, there's actual thought behind it. And that's what I find absolutely amazing and want to be sponsors. Like, when I watch his fights, I go, hey, that's really cool, you know? And then you can relate to it because you're like, you can think and you go, okay, so he's done that and he's done that. And, oh, yeah, awesome. You know what I mean? So that's what I do.
Yeah. But with that, are you studying other fighters? Like, are you sitting there watching clips and breaking it down with the mayor social on assessment and its own?
Yeah, if I'm at home, I'm always trying to do that because, you know, if you're doing anything but you're trying to recover, that's just another thing as building your boxing and building your boxing brand. Like, and watching these great fighters, they're all great for a reason, you know? So you got to, like, steal certain things off each fighter and, like, build your own. But I get, like, coach always sends me videos and different people to study to, like, try to, like, replicate their style and stuff like that. So it does help a lot.
But what would your style be, Joe? That would be a hard question. Coming into your pro debut and who you are as a fighter, what would be the one thing that makes do you?
Yeah, I guess we will see when I turn pro how I actually, like, go. But I think what I would, like, class myself more as, like, a boxer-puncher type thing. Like, I want to box on the back foot, but also, like, put big shots on and, like, get the knockouts. Like, I don't want to be, like, scared running and stuff like that. But, like, Larry Wilson. Yeah, that's it. Just letting them.
Well, you sort of like that. You know, he'll sit there and he'll find that one moment. We all just watch you didn't do it on the weekend. You're comparing to all the other fighters, and it's a bit of a plug to old Liam. It's the reason why they call him the main event.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's not only doing it, but then he picks that precise moment and then somehow knocked a guy out with a body shot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm lost for those battle.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Yeah, it's like, it's all the power, but it's really the thinking and the smile that comes in to set that shot up. Like, if you really, like, think of it and break it down, like, he set that up over the 4 or 5 rounds that it was. So, yeah. So, it's crazy.
Especially with an opposition like that, because opposition's good. And fighters like that are not in the ring with harmed up. Like, yo, just get a limb shot on me or get a body shot on me, you know? Like, it takes a lot of breaking down and thinking. Also, timing as well, you know?
When you look at the precise moment that it happened, you look at the angle, and you look at the reflex that happened within the thought. Like, you saw his arm came back all the way. I don't know how hard he hit the bloke. I wouldn't want to be that.
But all. I hear it on the No Limit post. It's crazy. It's so loud.
Exactly. But then that comes from somebody that actually knows what he's doing. You know what I mean? And then Jai, looking at that and idolizing that, saying, like, you know, that's what I want to be in, like Vegas and like Busey. These are all guys that will literally do whatever it is they do out of the ring. But when they're in the ring, job's got to be done. You know, and that's what they're there for. And, you know, you're talking about the next run here. Like, he's already a supercomputer. I've already watched his files a few times. And I'm just like, okay, cool. Like, he knows where to go.
Yeah. But especially, like, having the backlog of the amount of fights and years you put into before your professional debut as well. Like, I haven't noticed 65 amateur fighters traveling the world, 8 nationals, 8 Queensland, as well finishing number 5 back in 2020 throughout the world. And all this experience is just going to stack up when you do step into that next realm. I guess that's a safe way into that. Before we get into the professional stuff, I know you've got Comm Games coming up. You want to talk to us a bit about that?
Yeah, so I got the Commonwealth Game Trials about 3 weeks. So that's just like a selection event to get chosen to actually go to Commonwealth Games. So if I don't win, I won't be gone. But yeah, I hope that I can pull off there and get my ticket to go. And that's in Scotland as well. So I was actually in there already for the prep to world. So it was a familiar place. So hopefully, you know, I get my ticket there.
Yeah. So what does a trial look like? Is it go there, one fight or multiple fights every week?
Well, yeah, so it's actually run a bit different this year. They're doing like a round robin. So it's like, even if you lose the first fight, you're still in the tournament. You fight back to back everyone. So the only way you're not fighting is if you pull out or you have a cut or something like that. And this one, it has headgears too. So until the final, we wear headgear, and that would be pretty like tricky to adjust to because I haven't actually like wore a headgear in a fight in a long time. Like, I'm so used to no headgear. So hopefully that doesn't, you know, like play a bad part of it.
Change everything with peripheral vision.
Yeah.
That's what it all comes down to.
Where is it? Even when you like get shot, sorry, like push your head down and stuff.
Yeah.
It's very difficult, but.
May give you a bit of experience in case you're in the fight in the future and you have a bit of a swollen eye and you can actually, like, you know, be able to see what's going on.
Yeah.
And no way. This experience is no serve in the future. No, sure.
Okay. Like, how does it work with the round robin? So it all come down the point system again? So each fight will be a point?
Yeah. So I think if you win, you get a point. And then if you lose, you might lose a point. But I'm not too sure, but I know in the end they'll just pick who got the most wins and the one that will be gone each division. So, yeah.
Nice, man. So, when is the Comedian Trials?
So, it starts on the 7th of February.
Yeah, right,
so the girls are actually on today. They start, all the girls to go there. They hold it in different ones, so we're like a month later. So, we'll start there, so good.
And so it's happening in Scotland. So you're jumping on down to Scotland?
Well, so first it'll be, the trials will be in Canberra at the AIS.
Yep.
So we'll fight off there, and then later in the year that we'll go to Scotland for the Comp Games.
Yeah, cool. No,
yeah, nice. So how's all your preparation going for the trial?
Yeah, so we'll build up. I've got all my plans with Coach Ball, and he makes it so easy for me because he like puts all this time in where I just go wake up, look at my phone, just what's on the schedule, and just get that dark mode. It's like he makes it so easy because he's really like, all the brains and stuff behind it all. Well, he does everything.
But he's a coach of Foot's effort. And every time you talk to Paul, he's just a handshake or high five and they're like, yeah, do it, bro. And you tell, and then you see his ball. Even at the gym, there's like a whole side pool and you're like, wow, okay.
Yeah, he's really strict with it. He has all the straight lines and everything. And even drive past the gym and you see his car, man, he's down there writing something. Like, yeah, he puts in the most effort out of anyone I've seen, to be honest.
Tell me a bit about Coach Fall, coaches in general, because I know with a boxer, it looks like there's just 1v1 in the ring with the whole team behind me is fighting, you know? Talk to us a bit about the team behind you, and I guess how much that means when you're fighting.
Yeah, just start, like, how many factions are in All-Star?
There's a lot. Like, there's a lot. Like, each coach, like, does their certain, like, part for the gym, but, you know, Coach Paul's the head amateur coach, so he, like, runs all the amateurs and stuff like that, and Benny's more of like the pro coach, but they work together like consecutively the whole time. Like they're always together, like checking with each other. But
then you name them off your head, Drake. So you got Lockie as well.
Kate Swain, Chris Evers. Then all the old ones. I still see Blutch every now and again. Andrew Blutch, I used to fight. But yeah, we got heaps of guys. Even some guys that are out of the gym that are still like, I put work in, like Dan, like he's a great guy in the gym and he like helps us get sponsors and gets like recognition out there. So,
well, Dan was the guy that helped me enjoy it.
Yeah,
I mean, he was like the narrative between it all. He's just like, this is what he talked about previously. He was helping Dry with what Dry talks about. Dan's a very powerful force in that gym. And the main reason what makes him so powerful is that he's so approachable. You know, and he owns that whole Vic. So when I sponsor Dry, I send the money to Australian Athlete Connection. They figure it all out, and then he doesn't take any money. And then Jai, when he needs it, you know, I don't know what you do. You bill it, don't you? So,
yeah, I just send a tax invoice to it pretty much.
Yeah. And then he looks after it all for him, so then Jai can concentrate on what's important. Because if Jai was concentrating on bookwork,
and he'd
be able to be a boss.
No, way. No, we're trying to do everything. Like, it was about to say, like, yep, that side of it as well. I know in this day and age, like, a lot of fighters and boxers have to, like, put themselves out there on social media as well. There's, I spoke to a lot of them and he said that you need to do that because it helps bring in more sponsors to what you eat, other social media presence. How do you navigate that side of the world too? Because it's so hard, like online and real world are two separate venues.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to like find what to post, what will work. And, you know, in this day and age as well, it's pretty hard like not to post something that's cringe and, you know, look like stupid posting something. But sometimes you just got to, you know, you got to like just post the cringe stuff to try to build more sponsors and the different stuff. But I feel like it does help if you get it right.
Yeah.
Like right now, I don't even have like crazy amount of followers or anything, but I'm just trying to build it for one day having, you know, a lot and actually having a big following page where I could kind of lose stuff.
Except with Dry's humble buzz, but like his posts help my barbershop. You know what I mean? So Dry will come in.
Because I see your posts nearly every day in the moment of seeing the barbershop again. No, stuff like that.
And like you got him, you got Taj, you got the young, motocross kits and everything like that, and people say to me all the time, they go, why do you do it? And I go, well, why wouldn't you? You know what I mean? Like, we can all be businessmen, and then the day we can all say, here, I'm going to go buy a G-Land Gini. Is that going to make me happy? Not really. What's going to make me happy is this bloke becoming the next big thing. You know, then I'll be an old man one day, and people say, well, why haven't you got a big house? So I said, well, so I helped all these people. You know what I mean? And I'll be ringing him when I'm old and saying, oh, I'll come over and watch some footy together or watch some boxing. You know what I mean? And that, to me, is connection.
And
you can ask him for help, and if he's not doing whatever he's doing, he comes and helps. You know, if he doesn't do more.
Yeah, I've got a bad habit with that one.
I guess it's good for you, the community could work with you, kind of.
Oh, yeah, but we're all
idiots.
We're all trying to do something.
Yeah, 100%.
But after the home trials and in games, the com games, that's when you're going to step into a card?
Yeah, I mean, after com games, if I don't, like, end up get the win, then I'll probably have to just re-look at, like, what I can do. But I really want to do something big in the amateurs first and, like, build my name off that.
Yeah.
I feel like that is a, like, real smart way to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I can't do that, then I'll just have to take a hard route and just do what I have to do.
That's good, man, because, yeah, once you leave the amateurs, though, you'd like to be able to leave on a high dog. It's been, yeah, good that you got that ambition.
Then do we have anything to call you when you walk into your pro? Are you going to go as a little tape, or are you going to think of something else? Or?
Well, I don't know. I guess it was wait for let come to me. I did like the name Mighty Mouse back in the day, but...
Oh, nice, yeah. Well, that was UFC. You could bring it up with the yes. Yeah.
Because is that that cartoon, like, Coach Benny, I think he started it. His hand was like that little mouse. And then, yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens on our pro, I guess.
Yeah, but when we become Mighty Mouse, MM, you get MM as sponsor.
We got to find something that works for you. I'm telling you, it's very authentic as well.
Yeah, I can put it.
Yeah, I feel like Tank is a bit like OBU, you see. And this is like a real classic name, so I would want something a bit different, but...
Yeah, I felt like Billy's Hammer, because Hammer was a Hammer piece, but also he's a West Ham fan. And the soccer team in England, their nickname is the Hammers as well. So, yeah, she's kind of something that resonates with you. But stepping into pros eventually, is there anything in particular that excites you the most that they'll make in that transition?
Maybe it's like, well, money and stuff. But
yeah, yeah.
Nah, but maybe it's, I really want to see how the small gloves are. That's what everyone says the biggest difference is, like, you know, you really feel every punch and that. But I believe that I'll be all right. I'll be able to handle it. But, you know, it is like almost a different sport. Like, you never know until you get in there and feel the first punch, like, if you're actually about it.
Yeah.
But obviously, I think they'll be all right. But you never know until you're like, some of the blow-ups in Australia. Well, in amateurs, we go from like 10 to 12s. It depends on your weight. But, yeah, when you go pro, like, especially my way, it would be 8s. The gloves just built different. You put them on, there's like no padding.
Yeah, right. So, makes sense why a lot of pros bred the hands.
Yeah, true. That's another big thing you got to be aware of. Benny says always now, you got to do your hand conditioning now because, you know, it's coming. It's going to come. Like, these guys, he's explained it to us, have had multiple fractures, handbrake, surgeries, everything. So, it's like,
well, you got big pay for it. You got a very, very talented man that does the Raja hat. So, and it's that, right? You talk to it and... I've cut his hair one time and then I had a chat to him about it. And if someone was going to wrap my fist to go to war, I'd probably want someone that passionate.
Yep.
Where he actually, I don't know what it is about him, but I think he cares more about that than he cares about most other things in his life, in the way that he talks about.
It's a big, probably one of your biggest assets to follow in Henza. Hendon him on. Yeah. Because even like Floyd Mayweather, yeah, but like transitioned his whole style halfway through his career. It was hands were so shattered. I guess with science now, there was some passion like Big Red, yeah. All about from the hands and they're all smile over throwing hundreds of things like that. You're probably going to go.
Yeah, well, it all comes down to having the right people around, right community. Somebody like Big Red that actually cares, you know what I mean? Because if someone's wrapping your hands and he actually cares in the transition of his pro career, mistakes are going to be made. It's the fastest way to become a pro. It's the fastest way to be good. I say to my apprentice every day, make a mistake. Keep that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's going to be the same page, so there's going to be the rap that doesn't work. Red's smart enough, he'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And then that's where he actually cares. It's passion.
Outside of boxing, what do you think is this being the biggest lesson that boxing's taught you? Played a lot, Jared. Yeah, I did.
Maybe it's like keep going or like never give up type of thing. That's pretty well, like overly used, but. You know, with training boxing at the start, I didn't have any sponsors. I didn't have like nothing that I could actually, you know, see a future with. But there was just something inside me. I was always just like, it would be all right. Like everything will work out. And then I just kept going. But people say, oh, you know, you get in that age and you get a job. And I was just like, nah, I promise you box. I don't know what to do that for it. Yeah. And then I don't know. Next year I get a sponsor, like Phil Murphy, my first ever sponsor from Oxmark. That was like, just felt like life changing. I was in, wow, I can actually do this. Like, everything's just working out perfectly.
Yeah.
And obviously, with the help of my mum and stuff, like, it's just so easy, you know? I got everything there for me.
Yeah. That's good, man. Like, it's massive, but also, like, not letting other people's limiting beliefs, I guess, dictate how you move around. I'll live your life.
was like an asshole in everyone's shop. Like he was saying to John, as I say to everyone, if you listen to all the like majorities, you can't compare a minority to a majority. He's a minority. He's the one that's putting in the work. He's the one that's doing it every day. It's like going to my barbershop. I have to go to my barbershop and I have to open it. Then I have to be consistent. And then people have to trust it. It's like him. He's his own brand. He sort of filled it. People are going to trust it. And he's going to go and win and do what he needs to do. And then if he does it the right way, if he does lose, they're still going to back him.
But yes,
they're going to get more excited for the next win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's how you truly know that you're successful.
100%. But also like having that ability of like whatever happens in life, just keep rolling. And that will serve you, like, you know, you learned that at Bolton. That can drag him through so many difficult times in their own personal life.
Is it deserving your relationships, family, child, have a child there? Yeah, yeah.
Well, you have your life right
now. Do you know the kid not want to go? So, yeah, definitely, yeah, these are
ways. You can't just give up and not change in that, can you?
Yeah, you can't just decide one day to wake up and be like, I'm not doing it today. Every day is a commitment. But it's beautiful, man. Like, when you have that type of responsibility, like myself as a father, have the responsibility like that actually empowers me. And I might do the same with you. I know you're the kid, Snow, but like with Fox, and you know, like that kind of gives you that responsibility to show up and to commit as well. You're not going to empower you through every decision for them. Like,
yeah, it's hard. You can't really like just take days off.
I know.
Well, you can, but you just probably won't. You choose not to. Yeah. Can't get where you want to go. You just have days off all the time.
Or you have a day off, and that's one less day that you're good done to succeed. Right. I say that people all the time in entrepreneurial. It's like,
man,
if I'm not cut hair, I'm thinking about ways to cut hair, or I'm thinking about like a beer that I'm trying to make, or I'm thinking about a way that I can help Jai or help Tassaj or help Jim or do a kids' gloves day or a kids' gloves night. You know, it always go right, and he knows that because he's doing it every day.
Yeah.
And that's what makes him. It's what makes me, you know.
Yeah, I think that's what makes you great at whatever you pursue as well. Time to say, like, my brain just does the switch off. The only time it does is obviously. Like, I'm always thinking about how they grow, what I'm doing, how to build, how to make connections, network. Like, it's always something ticky, you know. But I feel like when you're like that, I can't get you closer to where you want to be.
Yeah, but it's what makes us all different. You know, you talk about your life and talk about my life and talk about his life. It's end of day, the connection that brings us all together is that we don't give up.
Yeah.
You know, we're all passionate about something. We just keep going.
Yeah, on 100%. In boxes, I know that doesn't have to be current, but this could be past or present. Give me your top five, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Top five favorites of all three.
Just my favorites? Or like,
yeah, per that though. Best. Well, the best, because that becomes a bit of a debate, but like, just your personal five favorite losses.
I'll probably have to keep it outside the gym too, because yeah, did that work? I've always loved Javonte Davis, just because like, just this power and everything is so, like, just eye-catcher. Like, you can't not watch that. And then, obviously, I love Inouye and his boxing. It's really slick. Obviously, Terence Crawford, he's one of the best. I would say Floyd Mayweather as well, just because I feel like you can't not say him just at his career and just how well he was. But maybe just one of the greats at the end, Mike Tyson.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I just love his, like, story and everything, and how hard he had it growing up or anything, but I really, you know, looked up to that a lot.
Also his bounce back story as well, like I'm kind of like, kind of went off to rouse a little bit for a little while, then put a little back, and he built his brand again, like he's done very well.
And then also with his daughter dying as well.
Yeah.
Everything. Like you think about how many times that makes.
Yeah.
Just got back up.
Yeah, got back up. And what Joe was saying, never give up as you keep going though.
Oh, mate, it takes up a very special. I've got a daughter. And I'm going to tell you, mate, I don't think I'll be able to get back up after that.
I've had that ball about my summer's mom. I'm like, it takes a different time, I'm sure.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
What about you, Chris? Your top five favorite outside in gym?
Oh, yeah, but boy, for me, it always just goes back to the greats. Like, I always just talk about Danny Green, all those sort of fellas. But it comes a lot deeper for me to try and put in five people that, I don't know, I would consistently say, I don't know, wait, over his age, change it.
So, I'm a favorite musician, you know, like, and this is a different music that he confirms. But
yeah, my big thing is, it's like, I sponsor Hayden, I sponsor Jai, I sponsor Taj, I sponsor, so these guys are my favorites.
That's full four.
And then, like, watching Liam fight, I was just, okay, you know what I mean? Like, and then it's sort of like, what makes me passionate and entrepreneurial is people that I actually have connections with. Like, if I see them up on the big screen, I know deep down inside that he's that idiot that's going to be playing at my door. You know what I mean? And that, to me, that's the immersive connection. We could talk about the greats, and we want to talk about the most amazing Foxer. And I think it's, you know, it's one of those turning points in history. And he was called the Great White Hope, and he was the bloke that was fighting all the American and all the different racist groups back in the day. And he never gave up. And then all the African American boys, they never gave up either. And then that was a massive turning point in history, and everyone's forgotten about. But like, that's what boxing did. You know, it created maybe a whole entire country and a whole entire narrative that then people were seen as equal. Yep. You know what I mean? And to me, that's some hope.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. It's good too. It's like, it has a very in-depth history. Boxing.
Pick it.
Perfect. You go bam, then just the ring. Yeah. But for yourself, Joey, you got Kong coming up. Eventually, it should turn into pro. Is there anything else that is coming up for yourself that you want to hold it?
I think I'm just dialed into the Kogan trials, because this will be like a big thing for me if I can make this again. Because last year, make it worlds, like, I honestly didn't even think I'd be able to do that. And if I finally get my hand raised at the end, that has to fully be the best year I've ever felt, but obviously. Because I even yelled out to the crowd, like, I don't even do like that type of stuff. And they're like, what? I folded my hair. I was like, oh, in the moment. It was mad that, because after I saw, like, my brother and Cooper O'Connell and my dad, they were all watching at my house. And they sent a video after, and they were just going off. And then, like, that's what I was saying before, like, that making people crowd and stuff. Like, seeing how happy they were for me, it was just like, that was crazy. Even I FaceTimed straight after to them all speaking. I just, like, start cheering up. I couldn't handle it. It was crazy.
It was one of the funny things that happened quite recently. He comes in, he can't drink beer, right? Yeah. He's like, I'm going to get a pub live, and I'm going to take it to my dad. And then he goes, cool, he does it. He goes, oh, dad drank it, but they have video, so I'm going to give another one. He does that, gets another one, and then he's his dad. And I relate to that, because I want my dad to be proud of me as well. We all want it. And then they're sitting there enjoying a barber lager. What is your dad, flipping salmon or something?
Yeah, what's a little thing called the Dozer's cooking sets. So he just posted on Facebook, like, little videos of himself cooking. Well, super, yeah. A lot of people that know him, like, no, he's like the jokes and stuff. Yeah, but
it brings people together. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then that's why I made my beer. It's the reason why I sponsor young kids. It's the reason why I do what I do. Is because, to me, at the end of the day, that's worth more money.
Yeah.
Every day of the week. You know what I mean? Like, I can go, no, I make money. That's easy. Yeah. And if I make connections and networks, and this young kid is going from being a kid to Commonwealth Games and then being a pro, mate.
Yeah.
I think you're telling me not to, like, be a part of that.
I'm with you, man. Like, because in, like, we bond talk, you know, like, I wouldn't have never met you, would never met Jai, if I would never met anyone from ASB or anyone that, I've done over 180 interviews by now. Like, I would never have met any of those people that have podcasts. Like, the ability just to network and make people. So,
it makes positive change. 100%. And if we keep making positive change, the world is going to get better.
Yeah.
You know, we've got so much shit that's happening every single day in society. We've got housing crisis. We've got poverty, like homelessness. We've got all of this shit. You know, one of the great things I love about the gym is when I put my money towards the gym, Benny knows that Dax Wally kicks it trying to follow.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, pull it down. We'll give a shit about all the crap's going on. I don't care. What I care about is that there's a place there where these children can come in and then aspire to be like Jai. And that's hard. That's real. You know what I mean? Because then that's doing more than anything that politics do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They can't even get broke trying.
So, because you'd have some of these, like, Kiwis in the gym, the 12, 11-year-olds looking up to drive them over. Like, we had to be done from the amateurs to this point. I was like, inspirational. What they want to do.
100%. What you said, inspirational young man. He comes into my barbershop, he completely changes the mood of a barbershop. I've tried to tell him that 100 times, and he's like, oh, no, no, no. And I'm like, what do you, mate?
Yeah.
Reason why is because he's real. You know, he's authentic.
Yeah, man. Probably humble as well. Because I think when you're all like that, it's hard to, dig yourself up or give yourself the props, because it's just, you know, it's just who you are as a person.
Like, what comes from humility is not an insecurity. And he'll be one with that. He'll tell the kids, he goes, it's okay. He goes, I felt that once. You know, I felt it. You felt it. We all know what it feels like. And as a child transitioning into manhood or womanhood, you got to teach them not to be insecure. Talk about their feelings. So to be there in that gym, you know what I mean? To be in that safe place.
Yeah.
You know, and that's real stuff.
friendship sense, to lead yourself in the back yourself as well and show your offensive. Yeah. It's a lot of things, but
shake.
In Trinity now, com games coming up, professional coming up. If you can reflect back to your first step into the gym, you can look D where you're at the L back then.
Oh, no, no way. It's crazy. Like, just thinking when I first started, I didn't even think I'd have a fight, to be honest. Like, I just walked in. And then, like, when I first started, it was just like, I just didn't think I'd ever be anything. Like I said, I didn't even think I'd travel any countries or anything. And just, like, being here now is pretty surreal. Like, just looking back, like, I actually did do that. And that was for you. But it's not like it was, like, good or crazy. It was just, like, for me, when I first started, it was really just, yeah, unbelievable that I'm here now, you know?
Look here, so I guess you're burning it. You know what I mean? If you weren't burning it, you wouldn't be here. But that's what it all comes down to. Now, you talk about any apprentice, any trade, any boxer, any sports person. You're in it and you're earning it, you're going to get results
with skill. Well, you get out of it what you put in.
100%.
100%. But is there anything else that I haven't touched on that you want to talk about? Is there anything you want to provoke, talk about, give your shout out or any people you talk about?
Sure. Maybe just all my sponsors, because, you know, like I said, without them, I wouldn't be able to do this. And it does go a long way, just each of them. So the DSM Painting, RML Services, NRG Reinforcements, all those other stuff.
Yeah,
there's a lot of them, but yeah, they know who they are anyways, and yeah, love all of them.
It's hard, but we'll just have to get a shirt, mate, boy, at some point. One order sponsors on the mate, a shirt. Be a lot easier.
Just get like a banner where you do podcasts, just cut it up in the video, bro. But I think before we wrap up, we got to try a beer.
Yeah, I was going to do the old shoey. I'll get me boot off and do the old cheers.
Before you do it, you want to tell the audience about the beer, but didn't have this last time, you know?
Yeah, so it's a passion project, everyone. It's just a simple barber lager. We made it at Hip Hops. And it's about bringing people together. So here's one for the boys and everybody else, and it's a jibe.
I'll stick to my water.
Swap in. Why are you pouring out? I'm going to have a sip of this and give a little review.
Ready?
Where's the good April?
Ready? Let's go.
Yeah. Good. Aussie Ike.
Cheers now, boy. He mother logger.
Yes, girls. I'm your owners.
You want to try it here, Gosh?
Oh, that's in the shoe. I do slide up when it slides.
They're nice, though. You want to talk to a bit about the backstory?
Well, the backstory is very simple. It's about making change. You know, like me and Sean, the owner of Pip Ops, we literally came together one day and put a barber shop in the brewery, started this whole process. And the more money that I make out of these things, then the more money me and Sean have to do positives. Like, this is literally a positive. Know what I mean? Like, and then the Great Mates Catch Up, we did that. Any other things that people come to us and need help, then we've got a vital resource, because we're selling a beer that then pools and, you know, it creates harmony. And then when you come to the barbershop, instead of getting, like, you know, your typical 4X gold or your carbon mid or anything like that, you get one of my beers. And then that's me taking money from my own company and putting it in a foundation with every beer that you drink. Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point of it. It's to bring people together, put money on the table. You know, I can talk about it. That's great. I'm actually out there doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it really comes down to.
Yeah, love that, man. And talk to us about where we can grab them, who that was for.
Obviously, any time you want, you can come to the barbershop, you get it for free. So that's where it is. And then if you want to buy it right now, it's being sold at Hip Hop's Brewery, the Hip Hop's Brewing Co. And then you can buy it in slabs, cartons, or little four packs. And then it's always on normally tap 15, and normally you can get it there Friday afternoon. So out of the 19 beers there, this is the one that we all love, Barber Lager.
Well, so if you listen to watch and make sure you grab them and support.
Yeah.
All for a good cause.
Yeah. We're going to get money to sponsor athletes like Jai.
100%. And in the bio of this episode, you'll find Jai's takes, Wister's takes, Barber, Beer, Erickson. So jump in the bio of this episode, lads. Thanks for joining us today. Much appreciate it.
Shab.
Right. And shining light on Big Jai.
Yeah, 100.
Fist. Stock him up.
That's it. Yeah, all done.
Hey, you.
All right, we'll finally grab a photo.